Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Happy Wednesday. Welcome to Send It In, presented by BetMGM here on the BetQL Network. We got another great show for you guys today, continuing our college football preview with some of the teams in the ACC. Today we look at the Mustangs. Billy Embody will join us to break down SMU, who I think could be a very good sleeper team in the ACC this year. We'll also look at the Tennessee Titans. We wrap up all the teams in the AFC South. Titans have the longest odds to win the division, but their roster, I think, is a lot better than people realize. We'll dive into Tennessee. We also got the 3M Open tomorrow out in Minnesota. We'll break down some of our favorite golfers, some of our best bets in the 3M Open. Kate Constable will join us later on in the show for Model Making Money. Then we'll wrap everything up with our favorite plays for today. Any questions, comments, best bets, thoughts that you guys have for us, especially on SMU, let us know. You can go to twitch.tv/BetQL or YouTube/Odyssey Sports. If you miss any part of the show, we got you covered with the Send It In podcast, available wherever you guys get your podcast. Glasses in session. Let's get this thing rolling. We go to the Glasser guest line. Billy Embody joins us. Give him a follow on X at Billy Embody on 3 Sports Writer. Covers LSU recruiting. Also does SMU as well. And Billy, I don't think many people realize just of how good of a team SMU had last season when they were in the AAC. Now they come into the ACC and everybody's talking Florida State, they're talking Clemson, they're talking Miami, and rightfully so. But do you think this SMU squad could be one of the more underrated teams, not only in the ACC, but maybe in all of Power Four college football?
Thanks for having me. I do. I think they've been able to change the culture of that team defensively, and that was shown last year. They really were one of the best defenses in college football, start to finish. They had a few hiccups here and there, or you look at that TCU game, that SMU's offense didn't help them out. It was hot. They kind of fell apart a little bit late. They played strong defense, and I think that's the calling card now of Rhett Lashley's program, which, considering what he's done offensively, is pretty wild to me. So defensively, they really feel like they're three deep across the defensive line in terms of guys that can play at a starter quality level, which is really something to think about, considering they had a strong defensive line last year that, if you watch that Tulane game, ran over Michael Pratt in the green wave pretty much start to finish. Offensively is the question. Can they get a star wide receiver to step up? Can they get consistency out of the running back position? Will a revamped offensive line really step up to the challenge of facing those defensive lines at Clemson and Florida State? They don't play Clemson, but Florida State, Louisville, some of those teams that have that level of talent, if they can protect Preston Stone or Kevin Jennings at quarterback, they might be able to make some noise offensively, and that'll be the key from being a team that has high expectations internally, but being able to take them from 5, 6, 7 wins, you know, getting to that bowl eligibility, to maybe being a surprise team in the ACC and having a chance to end up in Charlotte in the end.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about the quarterback position. You mentioned there a couple of names. Preston Stone was the starter for much of last season, got hurt. It looks like he probably will be the guy. Is that what you're expecting? Is that it's going to end up being Preston Stone, Billy?
I do, and I think he showed it down the stretch in games against Memphis. When he got hurt against Navy, which I'm sure he wants this play back because it was kind of I think they were up 52-7 in the second quarter when it happened. He was running around. He gets landed on and breaks his ankle. He was on pace to have the single most passing yards in college football single game history. He wouldn't have ended up playing all that time, but he was on pace for it. And that was kind of how well he was playing down the stretch there. He took his lumps early on. There was at least questions from me whether they should give Kevin Jennings a look about halfway through the season because the offense really hadn't lived up to what they wanted. But with his experience now, he's expected to be the guy. But they love Kevin Jennings. He's got a great arm. He's always calm, cool, collected. He led them to a win in the AAC championship game. Had some turnovers, but played well enough for them to score some points. And then against Boston College, again, kind of had some moments where he flashed some brilliance, but they weren't able to get it done. So if Preston does go down with an injury, which the last two seasons he has, they have a lot of trust in Kevin Jennings, but I do expect it to be Preston Stone game one.
So looking at their schedule, Billy, their win total right now, according to the odds makers, is sitting at 8.5 games. So they think they're probably going to go 8-4, 9-3 this season. I'm really looking only at two games, though, on their schedule that pop out right away. Certainly that home game against Florida State. And then the following week, they have to travel and play Louisville on the road. Outside of that, though, there's no Clemson. There's no Miami. There's no Virginia Tech. Like, when you look at the rest of their schedule, what's a game or two that maybe would make you a little bit nervous for SMU this season?
I think there's, at some point in that schedule of ACC games, there's somewhere odds are they're going to stumble, but just because of that grind of that season and that step up in the league that they're going to from the AAC to the ACC, I just am not sure which one. But I look at two games that are key to their season and how it's going to be viewed overall, and if they can get to that win total, is BYU and TCU. They've played BYU in the past. Rhett Lashley's first season, they lost. They didn't have Rashee Rice that game. But BYU, they've got grown men with families out there. And while SMU is kind of experienced in its own right, that's going to be a good test for them early on to see how far they've come. Rhett Lashley does not have a Power 5 win under his belt just yet as a head coach. So they could kick that door down with a home game Friday night against BYU early in the season. And then TCU. I tell you what, they were really disappointed in their performance against TCU. And I think if that game is played later in the season, maybe a different outcome there for SMU. But on paper, with what SMU's done with the trenches, they have all this experience coming back. They expect to win that game against TCU in Dallas this year. It's just kind of a matter of making sure they're there mentally and not letting Sonny Dykes, former coach, come in and do what he's done the last two seasons, which is really treat it like his Super Bowl. And he's been able to, in one season, use that game and it catapulted them to a national championship. And in the other sense, last season they didn't do so hot. But that was a huge win for Sonny Dykes, because if they wouldn't have gotten that one, man, there would have been a lot more conversations around Sonny Dykes' status, I feel like, this year going into this game. So if they can come out of non-conference play 4-0, then you look at the rest of that ACC schedule and say, okay, they've got confidence. They should be competitive against Florida State, Louisville. Maybe they can find a way to split one. And then, who knows, down the stretch. Rhett Lashley's teams, I believe they've only lost once in November since he's taken over as head coach. So they finish really well. That's something that I'm watching for this team, because they are so experienced. They've added depth and talent in the right spots for to be a power conference team, and I think that can help them carry themselves to being right at that line for 8.5 to 9 wins.
Do you think in year one they would be worth a bet to win the ACC? Their price is 16-1. So obviously them transitioning up in competition is priced in there. But, I mean, on paper and listening to you, it sounds like what they've done in the transfer portal, how they played last season, this team has a ton of confidence. Do you think that they compete with the top teams in the league and potentially win the ACC in year one?
I do. I think it starts defensively when you can keep teams kind of corralled maybe with some of the defensive talent that they have. And Scott Simons, outside of his first season at SMU, which still showed improvement, you go back to his time at Liberty and now what he did in his second year, he's had top 25 defenses for, I think, four of the last five seasons. So really impressive job he's done. If you can keep those games lower scoring, you can hang around and maybe surprise a Florida State. I'm not going to sit here and say they're going to win, but even if they drop a game against Florida State, their schedule the rest of the way, for me at least, is worth the bet, because Louisville is kind of one of those interesting teams this year. I feel like they could go boom like they did last year, or they could probably be a middle-of-the-road ACC team. And from there, you've got a bunch of games that line up pretty well for SMU, and don't discount the fact that they've got two bye weeks in ACC play, and they don't have to play a Miami. They don't have to play a Clemson. So if they can split Florida State-Louisville, they're looking like a team that could very well end up with a just finding their way into the ACC championship if they don't have to worry about a tiebreaker with some of these other teams.
I agree with you. I think they're one of the best sleeper teams to keep an eye on for the upcoming season. He's Billy Embody. Give him a follow on X at Billy Embody, on three sports writer for SMU. Also does stuff with LSU as well. Billy, really appreciate the time. Join us here on Send It In. Good luck during the season, and hopefully we catch up again at some point throughout.
Thanks so much, guys. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Billy Embody there joining us on Send It In as we continue previewing SMU for the upcoming season. And as right there, you can look at the schedule. Billy and I, what we were alluding to, again, no Miami on the schedule, no Clemson, no Virginia Tech. Really easy start at Nevada, home against Houston Christian. Then that game against BYU before the bye week. Then they get that three-game stretch, home against TCU, home against Florida State, and at Louisville. But then you look at the rest of the schedule, and it's some of the teams that are projected to be some of the bottom teams in the ACC this year. Virginia, Boston College, Stanford. They got Cal on the schedule this year. So it's a pretty favorable schedule for SMU there in year one of the ACC. Right now, their win total is sitting at 8.5. The over is plus 115, and the under is minus 135. Going to be honest with you guys, doing prep for SMU last night, this morning, this has now become one of my favorite win totals, is SMU over 8.5 wins. This was a team that went 10-2 last season. They bring back both of their quarterbacks who are more than capable. Talking with Billy, that defense is going to be excellent. Should be an upgrade at wide receiver. I just like the culture right now in SMU. They were able to retain a good amount of their coaching staff, and I think they're looking forward to jumping up into the ACC. This was a team that really wasn't getting talked about much last year in the AAC, and they're certainly not going to get talked about in the ACC. Everybody's going to talk about Florida State and Clemson and Miami and Virginia Tech, NC State maybe, as some of the sleeper teams. But a team that went 10-2 last year with a win total of 8.5 that's juiced to the over at plus 115. I mean, the schedule is more than favorable for SMU. I understand you got to transition to a different league. There are going to be some long road trips throughout the season, but they're pretty well centrally located, right? I mean, for all of the teams in the ACC, SMU definitely has the best advantage. You got to make a trip out to California. All right, you're in Texas. Go out to Cal or Stanford. You got to go on the East Coast and play in South Carolina, North Carolina, whatever it may be. They can do that too, where these other schools have to fly all the way across the country. So SMU being centrally located could also give them a sneaky advantage as well in the middle parts there of the season during the grind when teams are starting to wear down and getting beaten up. But I like how the schedule sets up. I like the teams that they avoid. I like the fact that they get Florida State at home. And I like the fact that not a lot of people are talking about this SMU team. So I like their over 8.5 wins at plus 115. And I like them to win the ACC too at 16-1. I definitely think they are worth a bet. If they win that Florida State game, they are set up really pretty. Even if they don't, again, they don't have to play Miami or Clemson. So we'll see how tiebreakers work their way out throughout the season. That Louisville game is going to be a little tricky, and there's probably going to be a game there in the season that we're not really thinking about or that doesn't pop out that might challenge them as well. But man, 16-1 is a good price for SMU. Again, they're sleeping on a lot of people are sleeping on SMU this season. So their price is the way it is because it's their first year in the ACC. They had a great season last year, but not many people knew about it unless you followed the sport pretty closely. If they come out in year one and they have a big season, those prices won't be there for much longer. So SMU, 16-1, the ACC. I like that. I like their over 8.5 wins as well. Make the college football playoff at 11-1. Again, I think this is one of those teams. Their best shot is only if they win the ACC. Maybe if they make it to the ACC championship game, they can still get in the playoff, but I would rather just take them to win the ACC at 16-1. Wouldn't take them to win the national championship at 300-1. I don't think they're that good, but I certainly think they're good enough to win the ACC, get to the playoff, and go over the 8.5 wins for the upcoming season. It's going to be a good team in Dallas this year, the SMU Mustangs. All right, let's talk some NFL now as we wrap up our thoughts on the AFC South. We've talked about the Colts, we've talked about the Texans, we've talked about the Jags. The last one up is going to be the Tennessee Titans. Team right now that is by far has the longest odds in their division at plus 900. Tennessee to make the playoffs is plus 400. Super Bowl 150-1 to win the AFC 80-1, and the win total is sitting at 6.5. When you look at the schedule, it is pretty tough. They got to play the NFC North, which isn't going to be easy. You got to play Detroit, got to play Green Bay, Chicago, Minnesota. That won't be too fun. Obviously, in their division, the Colts, you know how much I like the Colts, the Texans are the team that's favored to win the division. Those are going to be two tough games as well. And then playing the AFC East isn't going to be easy either. Got to play the Bills, got to play the Jets, you got to play the Dolphins. So the schedule is a little bit tricky. Much like we were talking about a couple days ago with Houston and how they have gone from the team that maybe teams are overlooking to now the team that people are gunning for, that they'll have their full attention for. Tennessee is going to be the opposite this year. And I think Tennessee is one of the teams that if you want to buy them in the futures market, I think you go big or you go home. That's the way I would look at Tennessee. So I would take a stab maybe on them to win the division at plus 900. I would look at some alt win totals for them. You get their over 6.5 at plus 115. I mean, juice that up to like 8.5, 9.5. Get yourself 3-1, 4-1, some prices in that neighborhood if you want to bet them to make the playoffs at plus 400. You can do that too. What I like about Tennessee is that there's a lot of upside potentially with this team, and a lot of it has to do with their quarterback and their head coach, because Will Levis enters his first full season as the starter, and we don't know what to expect. We saw some good from Levis last year. We saw some bad. We saw mostly some bad towards the end of last season. Vrabel's gone. They bring in Brian Callahan. A lot of people didn't love that hire in the offseason, but we don't know how good Callahan's going to be. He might be terrible. He might be Nathaniel Hackett or Adam Gase, or he might be Sean McVay or Shane Steichen. We have no idea what Brian Callahan is going to be, but he does come from that Sean McVay, Zach Taylor coaching tree. Guys have had some pretty good success in the NFL, and Levis does have all the talent. You know, it's not like he doesn't have the arm strength or he can't make all the throws. He just showed some inconsistency as a rookie. But I think the Titans made a bunch of under-the-radar moves in the offseason that we really didn't talk about all that much. They got Calvin Ridley to go along with DeAndre Hopkins. Tony Pollard is going to be their new running back along with Tajay Spears in the backfield. Offensively, they draft J.C. Latham in the first round to give them somebody a cornerstone on that O-line. And then defensively, they went out and got Kenneth Murray from the Chargers, and they traded for Legarius Sneed with the Chiefs as well. Jeffrey Simmons, Kenneth Murray, Legarius Sneed, all three levels on your defense. It's not going to be too terrible. So if this was a Mike Vrabel coach team, I would really like Tennessee because they would be underdogs in a ton of games, and Vrabel would get them to maximize the most out of their roster. So it's a shame he's not coaching. I would certainly like him week one against the Bears when Chicago's going to be a big-time survivor play from a bunch of people. But because we don't know how good of a coach Brian Callahan, and we still don't really know how good of a coach Will Levis is, I think that presents us some opportunity, some upside potentially on the Tennessee Titans. So if you want to take a shot on them to win the division at plus 900, I do think this is one of those divisions that's wide open. So I think 9-1 on Tennessee could make some sense. I think the over 6.5 wins at plus 115 is a good option as well. And if you just want to take them to make the playoffs at plus 400, I think that is a good option also. So Titans are a team that I thought I wouldn't like. And then when I was starting to preview him and prep for him a little bit, I was like, you know what? This team kind of has more talent than I expected. So Tennessee is a team I'm keeping my eye on. And Brian Callahan, if he turns out to be a good head coach, Will Levis turns out to be a good quarterback, they might have something there in Tennessee. So we'll see what happens. Let's talk some golf, though. Time for a little Shark Tank as we look at the 3M Open. Bring on our guy, Shawnee Sharp, to find out what our first offer, our first bet on the board is. Shawnee Sharp, what do we got?
Yeah, Peach, the first one here I got for you is one unit on Billy Horschel to miss the cut following his good performance at the Open. It's at plus 210. One unit.
Yeah, I like fading Billy here. I'm going to be out on this. Anytime we cut him off of a major and a guy kind of just has a great performance and they play the following week, I tend to like to fade that guy, right? Billy's kind of been nowhere to be found the entire PGA season, has a great showing at the Open Championship, and now because of that, because of the recency bias, his odds are a lot shorter than what they really should be. So his miss the cut is plus 210, when very easily it could be like a plus 120 or a plus 130. So because of that, I think the miss cut is good value. So I'm actually in on that Billy Horschel to miss the cut at plus 210. I do think he misses the cut. I don't think he makes it this week. So I'd be in on that, Sean.
All right, how about half a unit on Luke Clanton to win the 3M Open? It's at 25 to 1.
I like this as well. We talked about Luke Clanton yesterday, 25 to 1. This is a golf course where usually the formula to do well here is drive the ball long and drive the ball straight and hit good iron shots as well. Clanton is extremely long off the tee. He's a precise iron player as well. So Luke Clanton, 25 to 1 to win this week. I think there's good odds on him. He's played well recently on the PGA Tour. This course probably going to yield a ton of birdies. He's done well in those events also. So I'll take Clanton to win, 25 to 1.
All right, how about two units? It's a first-round special over at BetMGM. Tony Finau, where he be now, to shoot 67 or lower at minus 110.
Yeah, I'm out on this at two units. I'm going to pass just because the first round is so tough to predict, right? You don't know what you're going to get. Tony might struggle in round one and then have a great round two, or it could be vice versa. Just look at the Open Championship. Tony was even par in the first round of the Open, and then he shoots an 11 over in round two, and he misses the cut by like five strokes. So just the first round bets I don't love, especially putting two units on it. It's just not something I really want to get behind. So again, Tony, a guy who I really liked at the Open last week, who's played amazing golf over here in the States the last couple months, I think has a good tournament. Don't know if he gets off to a good start, though, so I'm going to be out on that.
All right, next up here, I'm asking for one unit on Keegan Bradley, the Ryder Cup captain, to finish in the top 20 at plus 170.
Yeah, you mentioned it. Keegan Bradley was recently named the new Ryder Cup captain for 2025. Because of that, I think there's a lot of outside distractions right now. I don't really want to bet on Keegan Bradley. I just want to kind of sit back and see how his golf game looks with all these outside distractions that he's got to deal with. So nothing for me involving Keegan this week or probably the next couple weeks. I'm out on him.
All right, next up here, how about half a unit on Cam Davis to finish in the top five? It's at good value here at plus 750.
Certainly is, and at a half unit, I'm going to be in on this. We talked about Cam yesterday. This golf course, I think a good comp for it is the Rocket Mortgage Classic out in Detroit, another Midwest golf course. Cam Davis has won twice out in Detroit, including earlier this year. He's a bomber. He hits the ball a long way. Good history here, three top 15 finishes. So I think Cam Davis could absolutely be in contention this week. You mentioned, Sean, good price, plus 750. I'm in.
All right, two more here for you, Peach. How about one unit on Neil Shipley, who was an amateur, people might remember him playing with Tiger at the Masters, to finish in the top 40. He's at plus 120.
Yeah, I like it. I think at plus 120, Shipley's a good option this week. The field is not that strong. He's had some experience this season playing in some majors, playing with Tiger, some of the big names on the PGA Tour, so he's really not going to be intimidated. And again, he did not play in the Open last week, so maybe some of these guys, a little bit jet-lagged coming back from Scotland. Neil Shipley, ready to roll. I think he's a good bet this week, top 40.
All right, last one here for you, Pete. Just have a little fun here. First round leader, half a unit on JT Poston, the postman, at 40 to 1.
Why not? You know, JT Poston's one of the best putters on the PGA Tour. Not somebody I'm betting this week, but if his putter gets hot tomorrow, he could absolutely rip off like an 8 or 9 under. These greens are not very tough. So if Poston drives the ball well, can keep it out of the water, I think he could post a good score tomorrow. 40 to 1, half a unit. I'm in on the postman, first round leader. All right, let's go to Model Making Money. Check in now with Kate Constable, who is standing by. Get some best bets from Kate. Before we do that, Kate, what are our five-star plays that BetQL Model has for us today?
Hey, PJ. Yeah, five-star plays. We have the Red Sox and Rockies going at it today in Colorado. The model likes the over 10.5 runs. It makes that a five-star play, and it's projecting 11.5 runs. So one run of value, 1 point of value on the over here, but should be, you know, it's a hot day. It's like 90 degrees. So over is always a good play when you're playing in Colorado.
Most certainly, especially when it's only 10.5. So we like that. Kate, what about you? What are some of your best bets for today?
Yeah, I like Teoscar Hernandez to go over 1.5 hits, runs, and RBIs tonight against the Giants. He's gone over this mark in 3 of his last 4 games, and I think he's going to have a solid opportunity tonight. He's going to face San Francisco lefty Robbie Ray, and Ray's coming off the 60-day IL. He's making his first start since returning, so maybe a little rusty against lefties. Hernandez is hitting .239, slugging .616, and he's also batting .500 with 2 homers in 7 career plate appearances against Ray. So I think Hernandez going over 1.5 hits, runs, and RBIs for around -120 over at BetMGM is a solid look tonight.
Home run derby champ. I like it. Rocking with Teoscar Hernandez tonight. Kate, we are 1 month away exactly from the start of college football week 0, August 24th. It all begins. It'll be here before we know it. We're starting to look at some ACC teams. Who is the team that you like the best in the ACC this year?
Yeah, this isn't exactly like a super long shot, but I like Miami to have quite a bit of success this year. I think they could win the ACC +400. They were 7-6 last year, a little bit better than what their record showed. Mario Cristobal kind of fumbled the bag a couple times, especially that week 5 loss against Georgia Tech, where he opted not to just kneel down and run out the clock, wanted to run it, and that cost them the game. But Miami ranked 2nd in the ACC last year in total offense, and that was with Tyler Van Dyke at quarterback, replacing him this year with Cam Ward, arguably the best QB in the portal this year. Ward had 3,700 yards, 25 touchdowns, 7 interceptions last year, and turnovers were a big issue, throwing interceptions for Miami last year. So hopefully Ward can kind of keep those turnovers at bay. Running back Damian Martinez coming over from Oregon State is a big plus. Plus, the schedule for Miami, relatively easy. You don't play Clemson, NC State, North Carolina. Week 1 at Florida is going to be tough, but you're also hosting Florida State. So while I don't really expect Miami to win that game, their chances of winning are better being there playing at home. And then plus, PJ, Florida State and Clemson, the two, you know, top teams in that conference, they're focused on a lot more than just football right now, or at least on the field play. And so I think that kind of opens the door for some of these other teams in the ACC to maybe have a little bit more success this year. So Miami at 4-1 to win the ACC, I like that.
All right, very good. Kate rocking with the U. Think made a lot of good points there. It's going to be a fun division this year in the ACC. We were talking about SMU. I think they got a real good shot this year at 16-1. Kate, before I let you go, opening ceremonies for the Olympics kick off on Friday. We already got a lot going on. We got rugby. There's soccer going on this morning. Have you dove into any Olympics already? Have you bet anything? And then my second question for you is, what is your favorite Summer Olympic sport to watch?
Well, I'll start with the latter of the two questions, PJ. My dream growing up was to be an Olympic swimmer. That was when you wrote everything in like 2nd grade of like, what do you want to be? I wanted to be an Olympic swimmer. It clearly didn't pan out for me, but I will be watching swimming. I love watching swimming and gymnastics in the Summer Olympics. So those are probably my two favorites. The only bet I have made so far on the Olympics is on women's ping pong. Adriana Diaz to win. From Puerto Rico. I only picked her because my co-host on The Better Angle, Gabe Ramirez, has been following her. He's Puerto Rican. He follows apparently Puerto Rican ping pong, or at least knows of Adriana Diaz. She's 80-1 to win. So it's certainly a long shot. But I think some of those obscure sports like badminton, clearly ping pong, I think you can take longer shots there because let's be real, like the books probably don't quite know how to price these athletes. So I'm looking at long shots for some of those more obscure sports. But I am going to be diving into basketball this afternoon. I think there's a couple bets for men's basketball Group A. You could take kind of anyone other than Canada in that group, I think, for some value if you wanted a value play But I will have more bets for you later this week in the Olympics. I'll say that.
Looking forward to that. Kate Constable join us here on Send It In. Kate, great stuff. We'll catch up again later in the week.
Sounds good. Thanks, PJ.
For those people who want to continue to bet but don't have the time to research each individual game, you need to download the BetQL app. It ranks each game on a 1-to-5-star scale based on its unbeatable analysis from spreads and over-unders to player props. Stay up to date and bet confidently with BetQL's help. All right, guys, we got to go rapid fire here on PJ's Plays. We got about 30 seconds left. Pete Mills, great to have you back watching the show. Nothing for me today in the France-U.S. soccer game. What I do have for you guys is Alex Bregman to get a base hit today. He is my pick in going streaking against J.P. Sears. Nathan Eovaldi, over 18.5 outs, plus 110 against the White Sox. It's going to be my prop lock. Had a rough start against the O's out of the All-Star break. I'll take him today against the Sox. Reds, plus 150, my dog of the day against Chris Sale, game two of a doubleheader. And then SMU, over 8.5 wins. It's going to be my best bet at plus 115. Go over their win total. Thanks again to Billy Embody, Kate Constable for joining the show today. If you guys missed any part of it, make sure you go check out the Send It In podcast, available wherever you get your podcast. Tomorrow, we talk NC State and the Buffalo Bills. We'll see you then.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
and
it.
You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.